from CBS News Bay Area. This is the Afternoon Edition.
And right now in the Afternoon Edition, breaking news in the criminal trial against former President Donald Trump. CBS New York says sources tell them a man set himself on fire outside the Manhattan courthouse. He was rushed away on a stretcher. Witnesses try to use a fire extinguisher to put out the flame. So far, police have not released any other details. Just moments before the incident, though, a full jury of 12 people, six alternates, have been seated in Trump's hush money case. Trump has pleaded not guilty to the charges of falsifying business records to hide an alleged affair ahead of the 2016 election. Opening statements are expected to start on Monday. Also at noon, in just hours, we are expected to hear from the family of Mario Gonzalez a day after criminal charges were announced against the three Alameda cops involved in his death. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto. Well, today marks 3 years since Mario Gonzalez was killed, his death prompting protests and calls for justice. Later this evening, the community will hold a vigil at Scout Park in Alameda. Gonzalez's mother is planning to attend Andrea Nakano on the new charges that could land the three officers in the case behind bars.
Hey,
no, it's not that.
Sorry. Do me a favor, Mario.
This happened in April of 2021. Officers were looking into a case of a possible theft in the area as they tried to question Mario Gonzalez. It led to a scuffle, and the 26-year-old man was forced to lay face down on the ground. Family members spoke out after the incident, wondering how this can happen to their loved one.
There was no reason to detain him, let alone kill him. The APD took a calm situation and made it fatal.
The three officers now face involuntary manslaughter charges that can carry a sentence of up to 4 years in state prison.
This is not a great day for the city of Alameda, for the county of Alameda, or for the family of Mr. Gonzalez.
Price says these charges came about after her public accountability unit had a second look at the case. She wouldn't say what the PAU found to warrant these charges being filed 3 years after Gonzalez's death.
I can't comment on that. The matter is pending before the court. And so the details of how the PAU came to this decision, and particularly what my predecessor did.
Michael Haddad, who represented Gonzalez's now 7-year-old son, won an $11 million settlement in a civil case against the city of Alameda. He couldn't do an on-camera interview, but told us these are appropriate charges. Haddad added after the civil judgment, he handed over his case in a bow that had the evidence needed to pursue criminal charges. While DA Price made the announcement, she says she had nothing to do with the decision to prosecute the officers and will continue to wall herself off from this case, another matter she couldn't elaborate on.
It was a decision that I made. It is a technical matter, and I'm not able to speak on it at this time.
Well, two of the officers remain on paid administrative leave with the Alameda Police Department. The other has left for another agency. All of them are scheduled to be arraigned next month. San Quentin Prison is in the process of clearing out death row and is raising concerns over a plan that's moving some of its inmates into other cities. Some death row inmates are being located to Chino's California Institution for Men. Local leaders say the prison is right in the middle of the town, making the transfer a safety concern. They point to three high-profile prison escapes that have taken place in recent years, including an escape back in 1983. That resulted in several murders.
Oh, gosh. These prisoners are the worst of the worst. I mean, they have committed murder. They have committed rape. They have committed atrocities that you wouldn't even want to know about.
Governor Newsom made reforming San Quentin a key priority of his administration, proposing last year to reshape the prison into a facility focused on rehabilitation. Turning to First Alert weather right now, here's a live look outside across the Bay Area. Another sunny day as we get ready to start the weekend. Let's check right in with meteorologist Jessica Birch.
Daytime highs today are sitting above average, and I've been saying that all week long. Well, why? Because high pressure sitting just offshore, it's been keeping us dry. We've been seeing a mix of sun and clouds pretty much all week long. But other than that, this has been beautiful weather for us. Mild, calm, winds moving in from the north to the south around 5 to 15 miles per hour. 50s along the coast today, so it's a little bit cooler there. But I mean, compare that to our inland areas, we still see that really big temperature spread. 70s, close to the 80s down into the Santa Clara Valley. But once we head into our weekend forecast, and by early next week, we have a really big change in the forecast. High pressure will move in, keeping us above average for now. And then we all drop off into the low 60s as we head into mid next week. Around Wednesday into Thursday, that's when a cold front sweeps in from the north, and that's going to give us daytime highs all throughout the Bay Area, whether you live along the coast or in our inland areas like Antioch down to San Jose, down into the 60s with cloudy skies and a slight chance of showers. We'll keep you updated on that as we get closer. For now, back to you.
Well, this weekend wraps up San Francisco Weed Week, a series of events gearing up to the annual celebration of cannabis on 420. But unlike years past, this year won't be an official 420 celebration. That will happen at Hippie Hill. Organizers say they couldn't get enough money to put on the event. But as Sean Chitness reports, that's not stopping people from celebrating.
Joseph Snow says it's an exciting time for a new cannabis business like his to showcase their products and help develop their brand during San Francisco Weed Week.
There definitely is a lot of saturation, but because we bet on quality and we didn't bet on quantity when it came to our production, for us it hasn't affected us quite the same.
Joseph says his company, Snow Till, is able to create a higher quality cannabis grown indoors by using a better soil that makes the plant healthier.
It is definitely very competitive and cutthroat, but I think sometimes in those environments, some of the best products really do come out and stand out.
While many people are used to seeing the large crowds inside Golden Gate Park on 420, this year the event won't happen. Weed Week hopes to give cannabis lovers and the city a chance to see what else the industry has to offer, with events all week long, including on 420. Like this art exhibition made up of cannabis bags open each day.
There's this huge forward movement that we've never had before, and so we're excited to see how this groundswell of like public support and people understanding how powerful this plant is literally transforming the world.
Business leaders say the momentum toward legalization and new advances in how they use the plant are only adding to the energy for Weed Week. But financial challenges aren't just affecting the organizers of Hippie Hill on 420. The industry as a whole has its struggles in this economy.
Every day is still a battle for us. We're in the middle of a market correction. I think by the end of this year, you will see a lot of brands disappear and a lot of brands really establish themselves.
Weed Week hopes to be a boost to neighborhoods like Soma by bringing more people out during the day to meet growers and other industry professionals, and in the evenings for cannabis parties.
420 is on in San Francisco. There's more things to do and more places to go than ever before.
Lower prices and higher quality products are the promise of those who love this plant and believe it has a bright future in San Francisco and beyond.